Welcome back to Working Girls Don't Gatekeep, where I set out to answer the questions, what jobs are out there? How do I get these jobs? And what does that title even mean? I'm interviewing women who are in all different stages of their career. Some have been in their roles for many years. Some are transitioning into new industries. Some are job hunting. And some are business owners, but they all have one thing in common. These working girls don't gatekeep.
Today, I have Garrett Wood on the podcast with us, and we actually did a podcast swap. I was on her podcast, she was on mine, and they both had about different topics. But one thing that I loved on her podcast is that she asked me a question that I don't think I was prepared for enough, and I want to like readdress it. One of her questions in the beginning was, who is the real Nicole? The Nicole that you can't Google, you can't find out information about on Instagram. Who is the real Nicole? I can hardly remember what I said, but now thinking back on it, I think I want to re-answer that question. Also, I'm walking outside, so you can probably hear these birds, but my answer is I am a Cancer. That's my sign because I'm born in July, and I'm very sensitive. That's very common for Cancer signs, and I used to really think that was a downfall of mine and be embarrassed about my sensitivity. I would say, like, come on, Nicole, you got to roughen up, put your game face on, be strong, don't be sensitive, come on. And I think I've now leaned into my sensitivity being a strong suit of mine. I mean, physically, I'm very sensitive. I cannot have an iPad or a computer on my lap because my legs get so tingly from the EMFs. Emotionally, I can sense when the energy is off, and I'm very in tune with my own emotions. So I can quickly determine if something is right or wrong based off of the way that I'm feeling. And I actually think that's because of my sensitivity, and that is such a strength. It's really become a guiding light for me, maybe like my navigation system, because I can drop in and tune in with how I'm feeling. So I think that's part of who the real Nicole is, because I can, and I also want to like thank my husband, because while I'm very in tune with my emotions and oftentimes make emotional decisions based off of how I'm feeling, he's very good at laying out the facts. So between the two of us, I think we have a good balance of the yin and the yang to make life decisions here for our family.
I also am obsessed with like understanding how entrepreneurs created their business. So I'm always reading books and listening to podcasts of like entrepreneurial stories, which I guess is kind of obvious on why I started this podcast in particular. But that's something that I love to do.
In the podcast with Garrett, we actually talk about the trying to conceive journey. And to be honest, it's something that I haven't really faced and something I've always been really hesitant about talking about it, because I think that I compare myself to others who have been trying for longer or who have had worse experiences. Maybe they've had a miscarriage or actually gone through IVF and IUI. And while I'm not there, I think being able to talk about this while we're in the trenches, Garrett did a really nice job of navigating and creating space for that. So if you are interested, you definitely need to go check out Garrett's podcast. It's called The Cozy Cozy Podcast. Today, we're going to talk about her products and her path to entrepreneurship. Garrett is an author. She wrote the book Dare to Move, which I actually read. I loved it. It was like, I felt like I was reading a professional novel or a diary. I loved it. Really got to know her that way. Then today we talk about, of course, her business called Cozy Cozy. Her business is all about the perinatal space for women, how it can be really messy. So she has created different products to help fill the gap of the messiness and really make it more normalized. For example, she has a nip gloss, she has a pee cup, and she has a diaper bra. All of these things are for helping women with the very common experiences that new moms have. Also, women who are taking tests all the time, they're peeing on their fingers. The pee cup that she's created helps mitigate and keep that cleaner. I'm looking forward to this discussion, and you guys will learn a lot. Stay tuned for more information on Cozy Cozy and check out the show notes for more links.
If you're on your path to becoming your future self, have you guys tried Superhuman app? It is my new favorite app. I love to listen to Mimi Bouchard's activations every morning to get me in the right mindset. It helps me easily step into my future self, that lucky girl energy, calling in my future life, my future house, my future job, my future life. All of these things start to become more normalized when we can easily drop into that space. Superhuman activations help me to do that, and I've already seen some of my manifestations come true. Check out Superhuman app with the show notes below for a 2-week free trial.
Hi, Working Girls. Welcome back to another episode of Working Girls Don't Gatekeep. Today I have Garrett Wood Pesmeyers. She's the owner of Cozy Cozy, a new perinatal comfort product in the CPG space. Yeah, so really quickly, tell us more about your business.
So my business is still in startup mode. We only have one product live in the market, and it has been the hardest thing I've ever done. I have done a million jobs, literally, including taking 3 years to write a book. And I would still say creating consumer packaged goods is the hardest. Our first product to market is an ergonomic, easy to use, mess-free nipple and lip balm, which is not the sexiest of products. It's kind of like a tampon. You need it when you need it. When you first enter breastfeeding and you're like, wow, my nipples are cracked and raw, you just need this product. And I wanted to make it easier for moms. But the real reason I set out to start the company is because I suffered extreme, severe leakage and engorgement during breastfeeding. I went from a not memorable B cup to a double G, and the bras that I was wearing while I was pregnant were too small when I got home from the hospital and my milk came in. And I had had a traumatic birth, no mental capacity to go bra shopping. Like, who likes doing that anyway? And the current solution for leaking around the house when you don't want to be catching milk or pumping or putting pressure is to put these little absorbent pads in your bra. But my bra didn't fit. So I was like, what am I supposed to do? So I would walk around with a sweatshirt and leak into that. And then a lot of it would drip on the floor. Or I would just hover over two big mason jars and just let myself leak into that. And then I would sleep on a towel at night. And I was like, this is ridiculous. And so we are launching it, finally, the nipple diaper this fall. And it will be 2 years in the making. And we're really excited for that product to hit the market.
Wow. You are feeling a need that clearly is out there.
Thank you. Yes. I'm like, there's no way that we should still be sleeping on towels when, humans are here, because they're birthed from women who, even if you decide not to breastfeed, you will experience some iteration of leaking after you give birth.
Yeah. So that product is coming out this fall, but you said you already have one in for sale.
Yes, we sell this beautiful nipple and lip balm. It is called Nip Gloss. Cap pops off with one hand, so it's easy to use. And it has a really lovely ceramic applicator so that it's cooling, soothing, and just you're not dunking your finger in a jar, because that's really annoying.
Yeah. And unsanitary.
And that, yeah, exactly. Especially when you're holding a baby and you're like, how am I going to wash my hands while doing this? So, and then we also have an ergonomic pee cup for testing for ovulation, which is where I am right now trying to conceive a second. It's been a really long journey I did not expect to be on. And along the way, my husband helped invent this cup that helps you catch your pee mess-free as well, for testing for ovulation and testing for pregnancy.
Did you have a similar story where you found a need for the nipple and lip cream, and that forced you to create a new product? Or how did you get inspiration for that product?
For the pee cup or for the nipple balm?
The nipple balm.
I just thought, what else do you need when you're going through extreme leakage and extreme engorgement and that early, early first entrance into motherhood with breastfeeding? And it was dunking my finger in a jar, trying to find a burp cloth to wipe it on, and trying to hold my baby who didn't want to be put down. And it was just a nightmare. And I thought, why, if we're gonna build products in the vein of mess and stress-free so that moms can better bond with baby, let's do a better, cleaner, sustainably packaged iteration of a nipple balm. So yes.
Okay. And then I love your other product, the ergonomic pee cup, essentially, because a lot of the ones that we get are just these teeny little plastic things. Yeah.
so small. They're so flimsy. Like, sometimes I'm like, if I'm really hot right now, am I going to melt this cup?
Yeah, exactly. It's just, motherhood is so messy and so stressful. And I have a wild background that encompasses, you know, commercial real estate, spirituality, all of these different things. But I really, really believe in understanding our nervous system and what state of consciousness that we're acting from. And when you are leaking out, bleeding out, hearing a baby cry all hours of the day, it's very hard not to be in fight or flight. And when you're in fight or flight, it's very hard to bond with your baby. And it also kicks up a greater possibility of suffering from postpartum anxiety and depression while your hormones are recalibrating. And so as I started trying to conceive a second time and had already been through this messy entry to motherhood, I was like, oh, because I conceived my son first try the first time around. So I never really had any struggles with fertility. But then as I started this fertility journey, I'm like, wow, motherhood actually starts out messy, peeing on your hand before you're even pregnant. Like, why? This doesn't have to be this way. And these things just felt like no-brainers.
I'm curious to see how you got to where you are. So you mentioned that you were in commercial real estate and things like that, but eventually creating your own product is a totally, to me, new space that I also feel a little intimidated by. So can you walk me through kind of how we got here and your history and your career life?
Yes. The number one question that investors will ask or advisors or anyone curious about the company and me is like, you know, what qualifications do you have? Are you a lactation consultant? Are you an inventor? You know, what is this? And I always say I'm an entrepreneur. So the first day of my first real job was actually, it was some marketing job. And I took my lunch break and actually filed an LLC so that I could legally collect money and teach workout classes in the park. And in the first 3 months of my first, you know, marketing job that I had out of school, I started teaching fitness classes all around the city of Chicago at different studios, but also for myself. I'd have people meet me at the park. I would rent space out of gyms. And I just didn't want to be locked into a salary. I'm an Enneagram 7, so I always need freedom, money freedom, like just all of it. Anything, I don't want to feel boxed in. And about 3 months into my first job, I got recruited by a real estate company. And they let me name my salary. It was really good salary. And I was like, cool, I can learn something about this. The thing about real estate is, this was a development job, so it wasn't totally a free-for-all. It was a little bit corporate. But you're really your own manager. You are, you know, designated or finding your own projects, and you're managing them. So a lot of autonomy, and I loved that. But about 18 months into them hiring me and moving me across the country, I was fired by them. And the crazy part was that they had closed a multi-million dollar deal with my dad right before they let me go. So it all kind of added up. I'm like, wait, you let me name my salary at 22. And you paid for my apartment when you moved me to Boston. I would always be like hustling and grinding, and like I would always get blocked on projects. And so I had all this free time on my hands, no friends in Boston. So I started a coaching business in 2014 in my free time from that job. And when they fired me, they said, you have 60 days to find a new job. And I said, I'm just going to bolster my coaching business. And I never looked back. So also entrepreneurial and service-based, not product-based. But I loved it. I loved coaching entrepreneurs and taking people on this fat loss fitness journey. And it eventually pivoted into more mindset and entrepreneurial coaching. So I got a lot of exposure to entrepreneurs. And along the way of that, I also wrote a book. So that was my like step one into creating a physical product. As I wrote a book, I paid basically a second rent to pay an editor for 3 years. It was about $1,000 a month to have this content editor. And then I published in 2018, and seeing a physical product that you made, a cover you worked with a designer to design, like in your own hands, was like, whoa, like I can do this. And I kind of knew I would always want to invent something. And it wasn't until, you know, a middle of the night, baby screaming, I'm leaking milk everywhere, that I finally like got the like the moment, like the thing I was here to bring forward. But the very long story short summed up is just a lot of entrepreneurial activities, a lot of risk taking, and a lot of trying different things to see what works.
What a really cool story.
Thank you.
Have you always had tons of business ideas come to you? Because sometimes, especially if I'm ever listening to like How I Built This or something, I swear I've got, oh, I should build this. I should make this. I should do this. And I've got a list of like 20 different things and I never really act on them. Have you been somebody who's always had a list of companies and businesses to start?
Not really. I mean, I'll think of, oh, that would be such a cool idea. But I'm very good at vetting what my full body wants to do because fortunately or unfortunately, when my body gets a yes, it's like a we're not stopping. I'm a Capricorn stellium. Like if you understand astrology, like I will pull it into reality and I won't stop until I've done it. And it's a blessing and a curse because when you tell somebody at 24 and a half, you're going to write a book, you write the book and it's really scary. And so for me, I tend to just wait until my full body is lit up by the idea. And sometimes I try to hold back because I'm scared of how hard it's going to be. And I'm like, oh shit, I'm going to end up doing it again. Like I'm going to have to write this whole book and it's probably going to take me more than a year. And of course it took three, but I also didn't anticipate our absorbent disposable bra that we're inventing. I thought that was going to take 6 months. Had I known it would take two plus years, I maybe, not that I wouldn't have done it, but it is not for the faint of heart. So I'm very careful about what I choose to do because when you start, you don't know what you're getting into.
Yeah. And that's the entrepreneurial spirit in you. And you must have something in you that allows you to get back up because a lot of times when you're doing these things, the middle of it, you're like, will this end? I'm in the crust of it. I've been doing this forever. I'm not seeing the payout. Or flip side, maybe you do fail. And failure, what is failure actually?
Yeah.
But and those things, you have to have confidence in yourself and in the process to get back up. So two questions. What is your book? And then also tell me about your spirituality and all of this.
Yeah. So the book's called Dare to Move. And I think that's also a really good example about what you're talking about with this notion of how do you keep going when things feel like failure? Because what I've had to learn time and time again is that the lesson or the success is 100% internal, right? Like I think the average book sells, like of all the books that have ever been written, or maybe even just in America, it's like 200 or something. And I think we sold like maybe 1,000 books and I felt like such a failure because I didn't get some bestseller. I mean, I didn't even have an agent, so I don't know what I was thinking was going to happen. And who knows, it could still pop off. But there is this notion that you're doing it for some external result. And more often than not, it's all for you and you to work it out internally with you of what you're trying to learn. And that's really the bigger spiritual lesson that I have had to process time and time again of like, what is this really all for? Where is my curiosity taking me and why? So I had a couple big real estate deals. I switched to brokerage in 2016, and I brought a bunch of Cafe Neros to the United States. They're like the Starbucks of London. Mm. And I had a bunch of these deals in the works, and real estate also takes a long time. And so I was so excited. I'm like, oh, I'm going to put this spin studio and this Cafe Nero in, Copley at the mall in Boston. And it was just taking so long. And it really made me question, like, why do I care? Because I'm not going to make the money until that deal closes. So I have a long time of not making the money. I have a long time till I can say I did this. So what is motivating me to get up every day? And what I kind of learned is that my heart wasn't in real estate. It was cool. There was high potential of money, but I wasn't fully in it. And so I had a massive spiritual awakening in 2019. And I quit everything except my coaching business and my podcast. I guess I was still teaching Barry's Bootcamp, but it was on the list of things to stop doing. And I hired a business coach who had worked with Richard Branson, personally knows Elon Musk. And I thought she's going to come in and help me have a great business idea and I'll pop off. It'll be great. And what she did was basically open me up to quantum physics, which was nuts. I thought, oh, she's going to give me mindset tricks and tips and tell me how to like work harder. But like you're talking to the girl who woke up at 3:30 Monday through Friday to teach 5 a.m. workout classes for 3 years. Like I don't think I could have worked any harder. No. And it was all about, to put it in the more common term, manifestation work. But It was a lot of understanding my own energy systems, understanding the greater universal consciousness, getting into Joe Dispenza. And after working with her, I happened upon my next spiritual teacher, who then helped me better understand the different levels of consciousness and frequency and sound, and helped that inform what ultimately turned into a product.
How would you say that those things brought you to your product?
I think it's a lot of getting the mind out of the way, like, this is how it has to be done, and this is what is possible. Because when you start a company, it is, I mean, I joke, and I've said this on TikTok, and I don't want to say it and sound like I'm coming from a place of privilege or anything. I'm saying it because I was so naive. My husband gave me $5,000 to start with a product development team when I wanted to launch Cozy Cozy. And I was like, oh my gosh, thank you so much. And, like, you know, I have a couple thousand dollars I can throw towards this. I didn't realize it would take us $100,000 just to get halfway through, like, getting towards launch, just because of product development fees and setting up a company and legal fees. And I know that's not the case for everyone. There are so many great stories of, it only took me $500, but we didn't know how to invent something. So we had to work with an inventing type company that had all these fees involved. So what the spirituality helped me understand is that literally anything's possible. No matter if you think, oh, I only have $5,000, or I don't have a team, or, like, the right people will show up only if you believe they're going to. And it sounds absolutely crazy, but anytime I sit in meditation or with my journal, that's the actual hard work. And when you get clear there, things show up out of seemingly nowhere. I have so many good examples, but they come up as reminders to me to go there versus listening to how other people did it necessarily, or a step-by-step tutorial on YouTube. It's like, it will happen through quantum potential. I know that sounds out there, but it's my thesis.
I'm all into that. So I don't think any of this is crazy or anything or woo-woo. I mean, I haven't heard anything that's too woo-woo for me.
Cool.
And I'm willing to try it.
I love it.
I also think I want to add on to that. Believing that anything is possible is almost an external thing, because the anything is the external, but the internal is believing that I am equal to that anything. Sometimes I'll give an example of money. Say that, you know, your next salary is $100,000, and you put this on this pedestal. Like, if I make $100,000, it's so cool. I'll be this, I'll be blah, 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 blah. But that is putting you below that $100,000. And I think the challenge in journaling, in meditating, in sitting quiet and activations and things like that is making things neutral. Mm-hmm. So that, and then also bringing yourself up to that level.
Yeah.
So internally, how are you becoming that future person who already has $100,000 salary, for example, or already has a successful product launch or something? Because that is meeting the external of anything is possible to I am equally as worthy or possible as that.
I think a lot of it too is just, like, my teacher calls it, like, scaffolding, like getting right with yourself internally, not only to, because before you can even elevate your vibration to it, you have to really make sure it's what you want. Because after you've had several iterations of manifesting, or, like, some pretty cool things show up and you're like, whoa, this is not as hard as I thought. Holy shit, do I really want to run a big multimillion-dollar company? Do I really want to take on investment if I knew that and I believe that investors are coming? Like, what do I really want? Because sometimes we think we want it because it's almost easier to say if we don't believe it's possible. Then if someone's like, yeah, crystal ball, do you really want this? Then you have to, like, sit with that. So a lot of the work I feel like I've had to do over the last 6 months is, like, what do I really want? Like, let me get really clear and really authentic first, and then walk around as if. Because sometimes you could say, oh yeah, I'm going to walk around as if, but you're not even fully clear on it. And that's been a really interesting part of the process for me lately, of like, okay, if anything is possible, let me make sure I'm really choosing this, because there's a lot of other things that cascade from having it.
What are some things that you have had to wrestle with in understanding that this is what you want?
Oh, gosh. The biggest one that comes to mind is the relationship between work and motherhood or work and family, because my husband has gotten to a place in his career, he's a little bit older than me, where I can take risks financially and work without being paid on this venture. The first year of building this, I still had probably anywhere from 3 to 8 entrepreneurial clients I was advising. And this year, and I would say since last November, I've taken zero income. And on one hand, it's great to be in a place where I can take those risks. But on the other hand, every time I'm at my desk, I'm not with my child, and he's 3. And I know now that like 3 is never going to be here again. And so what I've had to wrestle with is, if I'm going to do better for moms on our planet, I have to do it in integrity with how I want to mom myself. And I believe in the 4-hour workday. I've always believed in it since I started my own business, because I would get all my work done in 4 hours because I had other jobs. And I'm like, whoa, that's crazy. And I like had a really successful year. And so I'm trying to embody this really strong, I guess, relationship with, I'm working here. And like this morning, I took my son to gymnastics and we went on a mommy son breakfast date, and I took him to a beauty appointment with me. I only have my sitter for 4 hours today. So wrestling with like, what does this really look like? And what do I actually believe? Do I really want to test that belief of a 4-hour workday? And do I really want to believe that I can have him in school for just 2 days this year and get all my stuff done? I don't know. And so I've had to really like get clear with that. And I feel really good about it now. But the beginning of the year, it's like, we're launching another product. Do I need a nanny for more hours? I'm like, I don't want a nanny for more hours. I want to be with my son.
I think that's so relatable, especially with people, women who are trying to start their family. Also, I want to, this hot take, I hate the phrase start a family, because when I married my husband, my family started.
Yeah.
When I have my kids, I am maybe growing my family, but I'm not starting a family. And I hate that I just fell back to that phrase of starting a family, just having kids.
I love the catch.
Yeah, especially because like when you're trying to conceive and you've been trying to conceive for a long time, like, aren't you leaning on your spouse who is your family? And then you say like, you're dismissing the fact that your unit of marriage is not a family, and you're waiting for this like special moment to happen of having a baby. Anyways.
Love that.
I also think when women are trying to prepare for having a baby and what that season of life looks like, I think they start to wrestle with, where does my job fall into my priorities?
Yeah.
And what job aligns with being able to have kids? And do I work part-time, full-time, full-time from home? Can I have... And these types of things in a corporate world aren't as flexible.
Yeah. Not everybody has the privilege to make the choice, and not all jobs are flexible. It sounds so crazy, but when that job fired me in 2015, I had 60 days, right, to find another corporate job, to get a salary, to get benefits, to, I was fully supporting myself in Boston, which was a very expensive place to live and still is. And I knew that I had to take the risk entrepreneurially because I wanted kids. And it sounds crazy because I wasn't in a relationship. I wasn't trying to get pregnant the next day, but I was like, this is my value in this life, and I am going to set myself up to have a choice. The hard part is you actually don't know what you want until you're sitting in the seat of the mother, because until you're in the seat of the mother, it's very hard to know. And I don't know if I've met a woman who hasn't looked at their brand new newborn like sometime in the first 3 weeks and hasn't said, oh my God, I can never work again. Because you just, it's so new, and this fresh baby is like, you're like, how can I ever leave you? You're so helpless. Like, it's this moment. And I looked at my husband and said, I'm never working again. And then friends say the exact same thing. But I also always planned on doing something because it's my passion. It's my household. It's my drive. And of course, by the time he was, 12 weeks, 6 months, I'm like, okay, I'm so glad that I can work part-time because it's important to me and I value that. But I was able to have the capacity and the privilege to decide what I value after I'm sitting in the seat of the mother. But I'm sure you've seen stories on TikTok of people saying, look, we decided to make a one-income family work because my values have changed. And the biggest thing that Cozy Cozy has taught me, even though I love it and I'm obsessed with it and I'm so excited to see it grow, is that if it all went away tomorrow, I would finally be happy and okay with being a stay-at-home mom. And going into my having my son and my whole pregnancy, I was like, oh, I could never not work. Like, this is who I am. And basically, motherhood shatters your ego. And then you can really tune into what your values are.
And your values change.
So it's been an interesting journey.
Yeah. Okay. So you mentioned briefly that you're working with investors. What has that journey been like?
So we are in the process of going out to fundraise more. We had a loan from a family member, and then we had an investment check from another family member. So we're very lucky that we had this early stage friends and family vibe to get us off the ground, because like I shared earlier, it's incredibly expensive to one, enter when you're like me and you have no background in really inventing products. And two, if you don't have any connection to someone who can make prototypes for you or design it, or if you're not like me, I'm not working with my hands to invent it myself. What we hope is to have a few strategic angel investors who can advise us, because while family members are great and we're so lucky it's been able to get us where we are, they're not business advisors to us. And a lot of angel advisors are very strategic. There's also a firm in Boston that we were talking to that is small and they feel like angels, but they're actually like a true venture fund. And I would really love to work with them. So we're hoping that we can continue to build that relationship with them or someone similar in the future. And it's been the hardest thing I've ever done, aside from giving birth and building products.
What's so hard about it? And that wasn't meant to be like, oh, yeah, come on, what's hard?
No, I'm just curious.
Like, what is
it? It's just this world that I was not a part of. Like, I don't have a corporate background, right? So I don't have corporate connections. I don't have an MBA. I didn't go to Harvard. I don't have a ton of wealthy investment banker connections. And it's all about networking. And I started this when I was postpartum in my basement in New Hampshire. So you are hustling on LinkedIn and cold emails. And it's also a chicken or the egg situation, because if you're going to raise $1 million, just for example, I did a one-off call one time with Jacqueline Johnson from Create and Cultivate. And she was like, if you're going to raise $1 million, you probably need sales that are like $40,000, $40,000 months. And I'm like, okay, well, the amount of inventory we could maybe afford to buy would only be equal to like $40,000 total if we sold. And we only have enough money to order this first iteration of inventory. Obviously, someone could pay to order more, but just in theory. And then I'm also like, we need the funds just to continue to get to the point of ordering the inventory. So how do we prove that? And I had heard that there's pre-seed, which means pre-launch. You don't have any revenue to show. But because of the state of the economy, a lot of people are not investing in consumer packaged goods until later stage. So unless you're like a founder who has launched and sold numerous CPG companies, which is not me. So is this chicken or the egg scenario of like, how do we prove ourselves when I haven't done this before? They don't know me from Adam. We don't have sales yet, but we do need money to get to the point where we even have sales. And now that our sales were a slow trickle right now, we're really excited about where we're going, but we're still so new and we don't have the budget to do Meta and Facebook ads or to get on Amazon yet. Our sales aren't as robust as they need to be to go out and raise $1 million. And so it's about building these relationships. And then to my first part, it's hard to meet these people when you're a toddler mom living in New Hampshire. So it's been the biggest thing that changed my life was this accelerator called Dream Ventures. It's run by two women in BC and they are amazing. No question is a dumb question. They help you organize your cap table. They help you understand the tools to do like an SPV, which is like where you can help, you can do your own fundraise. It's amazing. So I have nothing but good things to say about that. And doing that last summer really set me up for success.
I can imagine that's really helpful, because I'm thinking about like, who are the people that we call when we have questions? Typically, I call my dad about like sales because we're both in sales. But this is a totally new avenue. Also, you're a woman. So what is it like to, you know, so it's nice to have that cohort, it sounds like, that you have of a few women advisors who have done this before. Yes. Or who know, like, okay, in half the stuff you just said, I just want to say, Garrett, sounds so advanced to me. that in order for me to even get there, I'd have to ask somebody, like, I don't know what a cap table is.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a whole new language that I didn't understand. And I just knew that the only way to get going would be to raise money. And then but then it was like, you know, take 10 steps backward to then do one step forward, because you have to learn about everything that goes into it. So my husband and I have been joking that the last 2 years of building the products has also been like getting an MBA, because it's like real time experience. And I'm so grateful for it, but it's been hard.
Yeah. All right. And then you also said that you're making prototypes, and obviously you do have physical products that you are selling. How do you get those designs, and who makes them? And are you going to like Vietnam and meeting with these builders?
Yeah, it's such a great question. So that was my biggest fear, and probably why for about 6 months of from when I had the idea, it took me about 6 months to be like, how am I even going to do this? Like, how would this even happen? And I love the name of your podcast, because there should be no gatekeeping. And basically one day I just typed like, how do you develop a product? And this company came up called Gemba. They're based in Austin, Texas. And they were like, we will take you from idea to your golden sample, which you can order, and we'll help you with logistics. And I was like, okay, like, let me book a call. And they made it seem so easy. They're a startup with a guy who created some type of a dog toy. And he was going to China and had to basically learn Chinese in order to make and develop his product. I think he went on Shark Tank, super successful, sold the company. And he was like, my next venture is helping people do this because it's so hard. And Gemba has, I think, over 90 different relationships overseas that manufacture all different types of hard and soft goods. And so we worked with them on the pee cup and the nipple diaper, which is the absorbent disposable bra. And along the way, we met someone through them that could actually help us make our nip gloss, which is amazing. And it's been this husband and wife team who have done everything from packaging to sourcing to just logistics. And again, we've fallen into so many great hands of people who just want to help entrepreneurs grow. And that's been amazing.
Well, I mean, even the fact that you're on this podcast is showing that you are wanting to help other people too. So you're paying it forward. Okay, this is a big question. And where is your dream to sell your products? Is it Target? Is it online?
Yeah. So I know it sounds so funny, but I think of postpartum products just like any feminine hygiene product, right? It's like a tampon. When you need a tampon, you need a tampon. Doesn't necessarily mean we need to be in all public restrooms, although it might be kind of cool for breastfeeding moms. And we're seeing a lot of different like pumping rooms and nursing rooms pop up at airports and things like that. But first and foremost, the goal was always Target. That would be the coolest, just because so many moms are going there, or like mom's moms, or like grandmas, mother-in-laws, or like my mom did so many Target runs for me when I first had my newborn home, because like I wasn't ready to leave the house. And then Amazon. And we're really excited to be on Amazon by the end of summer, which is exciting, because it's, again, it's like, what can you get in prime delivery when you need it when you need it? And you don't want to go to someone's website and ship in 3 to 5 days. You want it just when you're doing a big order there. I also think grocery stores can do better. I know Whole Foods has some fem care, fem hygiene, but they don't have any nipple balms, at least when I go. So I'm very hopeful someday to get into Whole Foods and other small grocers that, you know, I have so many moms whose husbands are working really, mom friends whose husbands work really late. And like they had to go, they didn't have family nearby, and they were at the grocery store just because they needed food like 3 or 4 days after they came home from the hospital. And like, okay, why can't you pick up your nipple diaper or your nipple balm there?
What can we do to support you and Cozy Cozy? Because first of all, these brands and or these products really sound helpful, amazing. I can start to see my friends putting them on baby registry lists, me giving them to friends who are expecting, because every single mom is going to go through this.
Yes, I think it's so funny. We talk about registries all the time, because for your first, it's so fun and also overwhelming to make a registry for all these different baby products. But so often the mom's forgotten. And like, I remember my mom spent probably close to $200, like going to Target and grabbing like different postpartum care, nipple shields, like all these things for me that I just didn't have. But yet I had like a zillion baby onesies. So just building awareness. So like your registry should have some things for you on it. One of the things that's helpful for women is to hear that motherhood can be whatever you want it to be. If you want to work 9 to 5 or you need to work, that's great motherhood. If you want to try to go after your dreams after you've had a baby, you still can. Whatever that looks like for you. And I would love to just obviously give you guys a discount to our products. If anyone's interested, they can use thank you 20. If you want to add that to the show notes or something to snag 20% off their nip gloss or pee cup.
Amazing.
Okay, so we will definitely be, and you can pre-order things, it looks like, on your website.
Yes, pee cup is on pre-order, and then nip gloss is live, and then hopefully by the fall, the bra will be done and out into the world.
Well, okay, and now two fun segments that I always do. One of them is, I call it pop pov, or what the girls ought to know. I can't really decide what I want it to be, but kind of like, what are you loving right now that the girls ought to know? Is it a book? Is it a podcast? Is it, you know, what are you loving?
Oh my gosh, so many things. I am loving a lot of products that I found through the accelerator, which sounds funny, but it's, I'll just give you two examples. One is called Say So, and it is a mocktail or a cocktail in a tea bag, and it's basically no sugar. It's all natural because it's just like dried different essences and, you know, plants to make a margarita or a paloma or an old fashioned, and you just add water. Obviously, you could add alcohol if you want. And I met those girls in the accelerator. I love Say So. I've been bringing it to parties because I'm having more social gatherings now that it's like getting nicer out. I'm also loving this other girl. I was just thinking about this yesterday. I brought my makeup bag in the car, and it was really hot where I live. And I was like, oh, I don't have to worry about my makeup melting because this bag's called Well Insulated. And it's a makeup bag by one of the girls in the accelerator. I think they might even sell it Blue Mercury now, but love their makeup bag. And then my fun fact about myself is that I'm a big clothes renter. Like, I've always invested in like good pieces, but as someone who's trying to conceive and also been through having one pregnancy and then in the season of life where there's weddings and bachelorettes, I was sick of buying a bunch of clothes I was going to wear once. And then I'm like, well, if I do every, I'd always think to myself, okay, I just bought this dress, but next summer I might be pregnant or postpartum. And so it's going to be 2 years out till I can even fit into it again. And it might not be in style. So I Poshmarked a bunch of dresses in 2022, got rid of them. And then I started doing Nuuly and Rent the Runway. And I like Nuuly a lot more than Rent the Runway. But they also have some maternity options, or you can just get a bigger size. So I still haven't gotten pregnant. However, I like knowing that I'll have that option and not have to buy maternity clothes that I'm also only going to wear for a short season of life.
I also love that Nuuly is really relatively affordable. I think it's like $99 a month or something.
It is, and it's like 6 items or something.
Yeah.
So I love it. But you did ask about non-consumer capitalist-based things. So I wanted to share, I love the book Frequency. I have kept it on my nightstand now for 3-4 years. It's basically a version of Becoming Supernatural by Joe Dispenza, but in a less masculine, less sciencey, like textbook vibe. And it's all just about the power of frequency and energy by Penny Pierce. It's literally just, she has a bunch of books, but Frequency is just like, my teacher would say, like a transmission. Like, it's just so powerful. And it reminds me to that, like, everything is energy, and to like really watch my energy. And then podcasting, I do have a podcast myself called The Cozy Cozy Podcast. And I am also loving Pot Smart Rich by Maggie Sellers. She has a newsletter that I love. She is an investor, and she just shares a lot of good information about what's going on in the CPG space and podcasts there. So I follow her newsletter, which I love.
Okay. And then one last question I always ask is, what is a piece of advice that you as a working girl won't gatekeep?
Okay, there's one thing that I don't want to be true, but I've experienced it to be true, and I didn't want to believe it. And then one of my friends also had the exact same experience about how it's all about who you know.
And I hate that saying because it makes it feel like this cool. It brings me back to like junior high and not being in the cool kids group and not being invited to the party or not sitting at the right table. And so it's very triggering to me when people would say, it's all about who you know. And also when you're a mom and you're in the trenches, like, and you're not going out to networking meetings, or you're a mom like me who's chosen to just not work 40 hours a week because I want to be with my son. My priority is not, like, I am going to a really fun Mother's Day event in New York on Friday, but I'm not doing that every week. There's so many events I'm not going to for networking. And so I didn't want that to be true. But what I believe now is, yes, it is all about who you know, but it's about looking at who you know, like everyone, that as if they can help you, if that makes sense. So like, I didn't expect you to be so helpful along my journey as we are just meeting. Like I don't expect people, you know, in my friend group to necessarily have a random cousin who could help me. But I think if you're always sharing your truth with the people in your community, the right people will show up for you. And not to bring up the accelerator again, but last summer I had some well-to-do kind of high up CEO founder tell me, never pay for an accelerator. Like, you have to do this one. And that one was only in person in Denver. And I was like thinking to myself, like, gosh, I can't leave my family. I can't go to that. And I was looking at the female founder newsletter and they showed this accelerator. It was an old newsletter from like a week ago. And it was like, sign up for this accelerator. And it was paid. And I was like, she said not to do paid, but like, this just feels really good. Apparently I applied 2 days after the cutoff, but they still let me in. And it was life-changing. And luckily it was all virtual. It was just what I needed. And those women have connected me to so many amazing people. So again, it's like, if you put the intention out there for what you want and you believe it, like we talked about earlier, the right people will show up that you need. And those people that you know will help you. I just don't like the way that initial phrase of it's all about who you know kind of came off to me at first.
Yeah. That almost reminds me of 2020. So between the last 4 years, I think there's been a lot of friendship breakups. And so for a period of time, for me anyways, I would say like my quantity of friends in my mind lowered. I was like, I used to have 15 really good friends, but half of them and me, we don't believe in the same things, or we triggered each other or whatever. So now I'm down to 6. In the time that I have lost those people, I have built these quality brand new friendships who align with what I like, who will stand for me and be on my side. And I don't have to worry about them talking behind my back or falling off the face of the earth. Like, it's so right that it's not exactly who you know, but it's knowing the good people.
Yeah. And trusting that the people that are in your community are there for you for a reason, and they're showing up for you for a reason, and people walk into your life for a reason. And similar to what you said earlier, like not putting people on pedestals. If you're supposed to be in the group, you will. And if you're not, you're not.
Cheryl. Okay. Well, this was awesome. And I'm going to have all of the information on Cozy Cozy, how we can, thankfully, thank you very much, have 20% off of your product. I also want to share your podcast called The Cozy Cozy Podcast
and your book, Dare to Move.
Yeah, thank you. The book is on Amazon, which is nice because, again, you can find it easily. And it's the story. It's the story about how I got picked up out of the blue by a company. And then, obviously, a spoiler alert is that they fired me. But it's really about how I came out of that and dating a bunch of kind of musicians in Nashville along the way. It's very, like, young Sex in the City. Like, there's, like, that fun element to it, too. So if people are looking for a summer read, it might be a good one.
Perfect timing.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. This has been really fun.